Irina and Vershinin enter with Baron Tusenbach, who's wearing a fashionable civilian suit.
Let's sit here. No one will come in here.
If it hadn't been for the soldiers, the whole town would have burnt down. Fine, lads. First rate, fine, lads.
Kuligin comes out from behind the wardrobe.
What time is it?
Almost 4. Getting light now.
Everyone's in the reception room. No one will leave. That Solyoni of yours is there, too. You should go to bed, Doctor.
Never mind. Thanks.
Chebutikin combs his beard.
You've been drinking like a pig, Ivan. Well done. In vino veritas, in wine the truth, the ancient said.
Kuligin slaps Chebutikin on the shoulder.
Everyone is asking me to organize a concert to benefit the victims of the fire.
But who would play?
Oh, we would. Marya Sergeyevna, your sister, for instance, plays the piano magnificently.
Yes, beautifully.
She's forgotten. She hasn't played for 3 years or 4.
There's no one in this town who understands music. Not a single soul. But I do, and I give you my word of honor that Marya Sergeyevna plays magnificently. She has talent.
You're right, Baron. I love her very much, my Masha. She is beautiful.
To be able to play so gloriously and be aware that no one understands you.
Yes, but would it be proper for her to play in a concert? Of course, I know nothing about music. Perhaps it would be a good thing. Our headmaster is a fine man, a good man, most intelligent. But his views, of course, it's none of his business, but I'll speak to him about it.
Chebutikin lifts the china clock from the mantelpiece and examines it.
I got covered in soot at the fire. I must look a sight. Yesterday I heard they intend to transfer our brigade. Somewhere far away. Some say the Kingdom of Poland. Others say Cheetah.
I've heard that. Then what? The town will be quite empty.
And soon we also will go.
Chebutikin drops the china clock, which smashes loudly into pieces onto the floor.
Smithereens.
Everyone is upset and embarrassed. Kuligin is picking up the pieces.
To smash such a valuable object, oh doctor! F minus for conduct!
That clock was Mama's.
Could be. If it was Mama's, then it was Mama's. Could be I didn't break it. Only seems like I broke it. Maybe it only seems to us that we exist. But really we don't. I don't know anything. Nobody knows anything. What are you staring at? Natasha's having une petite affaire avec Proto Popov, and you won't see it. You sit there and see nothing while Natasha does what she likes with Proto Popov. A fig for you. And tell me how you like it.
Chebutikin exits.
Yes. How strange life is! When the fire broke out, I ran home immediately. I see our house is unharmed and safe. My 2 girls are standing in the doorway in their underclothes. Their mother vanished. People everywhere. Horses running. Dogs. And my little girl's face is filled with alarm. Terror. Entreaty. I don't know what. My heart clenched when I saw those faces. My God, I thought, what else will those girls have to survive in the course of a long life? I took their hands and ran, thinking only of what else they'll have to live through in this world.
We hear the fire alarm bell.
Then I got to your house. Here is their mother, screaming, making a scene.
Masha comes in with a pillow and sits on the sofa to listen.
When my little girls were standing in the doorway, in nothing but their underclothes, the street was red in the light of the fire, and there was a terrible sound all around. It came to me that things like this used to happen years ago when there'd be a sudden enemy attack. Burning. Looting. So what's the difference between then and now? When more time passes, 200 or 300 years, our present life will be looked at with horror and derision, and everything of today will seem awkward and heavy and very strange and shameful. Oh, it could be a wonderful life that's coming. A wonderful life!
Vershinin laughs.
Forgive me, I philosophize again. But permit me to continue. I'm longing for philosophy. It's as though everyone's asleep. So, as I was saying, what a wonderful life could come to be. Can you imagine? In this town, there are only 3 of you. In generations to come, there will be more and more and more. And then a time will come when everything will have changed to be as you wish it now to be.
Vershinin quotes from Tchaikovsky's opera, Eugene Onegin.
All ages bend their knee to love. Its pangs are blessings from above.
Fedotic enters, dancing.
Burnt up, burnt to ashes, everything.
What's so funny about everything burnt?
Every last thing. Nothing left, even my guitar burnt. The photographs burnt, my camera, all my letters, and the notebook I wanted to give to you burnt.
Salioni enters.
No. Please go, Captain. You can't come in here.
Why, the Baron and not me.
We should all leave. How's the fire?
Well, they say it's dying down, sir. No, I find this odd. Why can the Baron be here but not me?
Salioni takes out his small bottle of perfume and sprinkles himself.
Tram tam tam. Da-da-dum. Let's go to the dining room.
Yes, sir. But we're making a note of this.
Salioni, as he goes out with Vershinin and Fedotic, ridicules Tusenbach, who is sleeping, sitting up.
I'd make my meaning crystal clear, but 'twould upset the geese, I fear.
That Salioni smokes too much. Now the whole room smells of tobacco. The Baron's asleep. Baron. Baron.
Oh, I'm tired. The brickyard. No, not talking in my sleep. Had a conversation. I'm going to the brickworks. I begin working there. You're pale. Beautiful. Enchanting. Your face shines like a beacon in the dark. You're sad. Dissatisfied with life. Oh, let's go. Let's go and work together.
Nikolai, go home.
Oh, are you here, Maya? I didn't see you.
Tusenbach kisses Irina's hand.
I'll go. Soon. Goodbye, my dear Irisha. I see you now, and I remember how, long ago, on your saint's day, you were confident and carefree. You spoke of the joy of hard work, and what a vision of a happy life flashed before my eyes. What's wrong? You have tears in your eyes. Go to bed. It's light now, nearly day.
The Baron kisses Irina's hand again.
If only I could give my life for you.
Lieutenant, go home now. Really go.
I'm going.
Baron Tusenbach exits. Masha is lying down.
Are you asleep, Fedya?
What?
You should go home.
My darling Masha. My dearest Masha.
She's worn out. Let her rest, Fedya.
I'll go in a minute. My wife is beautiful. Charming. I love you, my one and only.
Amo, amas, amat, amamus, amatis, amant. I love, he loves, she
no,
loves.
Really?
We love.
She's marvelous.
They love.
We've been married 7 years, but it seems as if we were married yesterday. Word of honor. No, you really are a wonderful woman. Oh, I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied.
Sick and tired.
Satisfied.
Sick and tired. Satisfied. Sick and tired.
Masha rises and speaks from a sitting position.
I just can't get it out of my head. It's horrible, stuck in my head like a nail. I can't keep quiet about Andre. He's mortgaged this house to the bank, and his wife took all the money. The house doesn't belong just to him, but to the four of us. He should have remembered that if he's a decent person.
Why bother about it, Mashka? What's it to you? Andre's in debt everywhere. Leave him alone.
It's horrible anyway.
Masha lays back down.
You and I aren't poor. I work. I'm at the high school, and in the afternoon I give lessons. I'm an honest man. A simple man. There's no nonsense about me. Omnia mea mecum porto. All I have I carry with me, as they say.
It's not about the money. It's the injustice of it that upsets me.
Kuligin kisses his wife.
Go, Fyodor.
You're tired. Rest for half an hour. I'll sit in the drawing room and wait for you. Get some sleep. I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied.
Kuligin exits.